you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I thought my text today would be one that became very special to me when I was a child. I had to memorize the Christmas portion of Luke 2 when I was a preschooler, trying to impress you. And I did. I got it memorized. I had to say it in front of the whole church as part of a Christmas program. But God willing, we'll look at that passage next week. This week, I want to share this with you. It's the most wonderful time of the year. With the kids jingle-belling and everyone telling you, be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season of all. With those holiday greetings and gay happy meetings when friends come to call, it's the happiest season of all. There'll be parties for hosting, marshmallows for toasting, and caroling out in the snow. This says there'll be scary ghost stories, but we don't allow that. There will be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago. It's the most wonderful time of the year. There will be much mistletoeing, and hearts will be glowing when loved ones are near. It's the most wonderful time of the year. I'm sure you're all familiar with that text. You can't escape it if you ride in an elevator. Is it really the most wonderful time of the year? Well, if chestnuts are roasting by an open fire, then I suppose so. If sleigh bells are ringing, then of course you're happy. Of course, you've got to have a list of things that will make it so. When I was a kid, the song was, "All I Want for Christmas is My Two Front Teeth." That was very popular. By the time my kids were coming around for Christmas, I think it was Mariah who sang, "All I Want for Christmas is You." Elvis had already sung and left the building, but he said, "It'll be a blue Christmas without you." And the fact of the matter is, there are a whole lot of people for whom this is the most difficult time of the year. And so my text is actually a short text from Romans chapter 12 that tells those who are God's people, who have trusted in His grace, it tells us something that we should do. Romans 12, 9 and following. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Now, there's obviously more to that exhortation. But right in the midst of it, we are told, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Father, please add your blessing to this reading from your holy and inspired word. If you find the Christmas holidays difficult, one of the reasons is likely to be because your feelings don't line up with what you're told they should be. You may look around and somehow assume, especially if you're one of those people who squanders your time on social media, you may see everybody else's little picture of their holiday foods and decorations and gatherings and all that sort of thing and feel like, I guess I just don't fit in. The first thing I would tell you is that you are not alone. There are a whole lot of people for whom this is the most difficult time of the year. This is an extremely challenging time because the expectation level is here and the experience seems to be down here. It wasn't Jesus' birthday, it was my birthday that became memorably disappointing. Because the night before, my brother, who was 6 years older than I was, decided for whatever demonic reason that he would tell me about what mom and dad were giving me the next day. My mom and dad were real big on keeping it a secret. They didn't say, and for your birthday, we're going to get you this, or for Christmas, we're going to get you this. It was a surprise. My cousins got to open Christmas gifts on Christmas Eve, kind of a Scandinavian thing. Well, I was only half Norwegian, so we had to wait until my father said it's Christmas morning, and then we could find out what we got. Likewise, on my birthday, I didn't know ahead of time what I was going to get. It was always a surprise. But my brother decided to tell me that the next day, and he said, you've got to promise you will not tell mom and dad that I told you this. Oh, I won't. Mom and dad have been saving up, and they've bought you a pony. We lived in Villa Park, Illinois, a suburb of Chicago. We didn't have room for a pony, but John said, you notice the grass in the backyard has not been mowed this week. That's because they're going to let it grow and the pony is going to live in the backyard and it's going to eat the grass. And they've also bought you a bunch of Indian stuff. They have a full headdress for you and a bow and arrow, and you're going to be able to wear a loincloth, which was something I'd already tried once at a ladies' Bible study. I came downstairs because my brother put me up to it. I came downstairs with a bath towel and a belt, and that was arranged like a loincloth, and I thought I looked like those Indians on TV, but apparently the ladies at the Bible study and my mother did not agree, and I was told, go back upstairs and change and not do that again. But I was now being told by my brother I would be able to wear a loincloth, and I would be able to crawl through the backyard, and the neighbors would look and say, look, there goes Jimmy Wood, the Indian. I was so excited. Oh, I went to sleep looking forward to the best birthday ever. And as you might imagine, none of that was true. The next morning, everything my parents gave me, I was waiting for the stuff John told me about. And it never came. I was crushed. But I loved my parents and I knew they loved me, and I had to try and express appreciation for whatever totally forgettable gifts they gave me. I don't remember what I got that birthday. I just remember what I didn't get that birthday. And what I would submit to you is that one of the reasons why people are depressed at Christmas time is because they forget whose birthday it is, and they've got the wrong gift list. Let me tell you something. If you're focused on the wrong stuff, it's guaranteed disappointment.
Hi, this is Jim Wood with Abiding in Christ. As our financial year comes to a close on December 31st, we would be especially grateful to hear from you. This broadcast is funded by the generosity of God's people. And whether you use the postal service or give securely online by going to pastorwood.org or call us at 866-41-ABIDE. In any case, we're grateful for gifts large and small. Every gift matters. And we're trusting God to reward you. He promised He will.
My prayer list right now is incredibly long. Not my gift list. The people I'm praying for, a bunch of them have chronic pain. I mean, day after day after day after day, they're in excruciating pain. One of the people I pray for every day is Johnny Erickson Tata. And the main thing I pray for her specifically is regarding her chronic pain. I posted on my social media Facebook account today. I'm old, so I'm still on Facebook. I posted on my Facebook account a post that she had put on Facebook today about dealing with pain and dealing with depression and the fact that battling depression doesn't mean you're not a godly person. Some of the most wonderful servants of God, generation after generation, have been people who battled depression. People like Spurgeon. Okay, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, godly man, wonderful guy, who sometimes couldn't preach because on Sunday morning he was so overwhelmed with depression. How can that be for a child of God? But I've got folks on there not only with chronic pain, but a bunch of them right now with cancer. And it's a struggle. And I'm praying for them. These are people I know and love. There are folks who are facing financial challenges. There are folks who are dealing, especially at this time of year, with painful memories. There are folks who have a lot of struggles because it's when families come together for the holidays, and they don't necessarily look forward to that because their family relationships are strained. But there are all kinds of struggles. If you're holiday is focused on the wrong things, if you're thinking that you can ease the pain that you have or that your loved ones have by spending money you don't have in order to buy things that you don't need and they don't need, maybe that'll make it better because everybody's getting one this year. It won't work. If you focus, and God forbid you encourage your children to focus on make-believe, that just makes matters worse. Because what we need to embrace is the truth of this season. If your focus is on food or family or friends, they may all leave you with indigestion. What happens when they're not there anymore? What happens when the food is gone? What happens when the family is now distant or deceased? What do you do when friends don't come around? I think I now have more friends in heaven than I do on earth. Okay? I don't talk to them, but I do miss them. What are you going to do? Well, you may just get depressed, but this is not a new problem. 1965, a believer by the name of Charles Schultz, who had been extraordinarily successful with his Peanuts cartoon, made a movie, Charlie Brown Christmas. In a Charlie Brown Christmas, Charlie Brown famously says, and this was 1965, "I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel." Can anybody relate to that? You don't have to raise your hands for that one. "I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way that what? That I'm supposed to feel." He goes on to say, "Does anybody know the meaning of Christmas?" And Linus responds with Luke 2. And the people at the network wanted Schultz to leave that out. It's the point of the movie. Well, not only did he insist on leaving it in, but of course the movie became a perennial hit, much to the consternation of the people who had no clue. Linus answered with Luke 2, and if you've seen the movie and paid attention, I hope you notice that Linus, who always is sucking his thumb and holding his blanket, when he quotes the part from Luke 2, where we're told, "Do not be afraid," he drops the blanket. His security blanket is not needed when he's thinking about the fact that the angel said, "Don't be afraid, because unto you a child is born." There's a Savior now. That is where our focus needs to be at this season. You see, I don't know what you're hoping to get for Christmas, but if it distracts you from what you've already been given, which is what Christmas is all about, then it's not a good thing. The gospel is precisely what we need at this season and all year round. Suppose I know that and I believe the gospel's true, but I still feel like Charlie Brown. Okay? I still don't feel the way that I think I'm supposed to feel. What should I do? I have a prescription for you. It's from God's word. But the first thing is you need to be honest with others. Well, I thought you'd say be honest with yourself. We're going to get there. That's obviously, you can't be honest with others if you're not being honest with yourself. But I want to submit to you that even when you are admitting to yourself that the gospel is true and I don't feel happy, you need to be honest with others. That doesn't mean you go around with a placard on yourself saying, "I'm blue." It does mean that you cultivate relationships where you can be open and honest. That's very important. Be honest with others, and a part of that, a subset of that, parents and grandparents, neighbors, don't lie to kids. Don't lie to children. I've had people get upset with me because I said that Santa Claus is a myth that distracts people from Jesus at this time of year. If you teach children a lie, it's going to undercut their belief in the gospel. They're going to be less inclined to believe the truth if the same people who tell them the truth is also telling them a lie. Don't lie to kids. Don't lie to them about Santa. Don't lie to them about illness. Don't lie to them about, nothing bad can happen to you. Lots of bad stuff can happen. Okay? So did your kids grow up terrified? No, my kids grew up courageous because they knew that whatever bad stuff comes, God is bigger and stronger. And he's able to take even bad things and make something beautiful out of it. So don't be afraid, because things can hurt you, but nothing can harm you if you're trusting in him. Be honest with others, especially don't lie to kids. Talk with God. Talk with God. Well, can I talk with some other people too? Absolutely. But don't leave God out. You can talk to him anytime. You see, there are a whole lot of people who've been taught that they can't talk directly to God. You can talk to God. You can talk. Well, I didn't go to seminary. You don't have to go to seminary. God listens to little kids. But you need to speak to him and be honest with him. And you need to tell yourself the truth. Be honest. But that doesn't just mean admitting to yourself that you're not feeling so good. My other text for today is from Psalm 42 and 43. I'm just going to read you some verses, but something that is repeated three times in these two songs is this. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. He goes on to say, my soul is downcast, but therefore I'm going to remember these things. That was verses 5 and 6. This is verse 11. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Then in Psalm 43, verse 5, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. Tell yourself the truth. Remind yourself of the good news. It's not enough to feel good. But let me tell you something. There are people who feel good temporarily, and then they're right back into the depths. But this truth does not change. And if you embrace the gospel, then you have an unshakable foundation. Now there's one more thing. Look prayerfully for ways to bless others. You may be having a hard time this season. I guarantee you, if you will prayerfully look, you can find somebody who's having a harder time. Look for a way to bless them. There are a lot of people who could use your help at this season. Say, well, no, now I'm getting more depressed because you're giving me something else to do. I'm giving you, I don't like physical therapy after I've had an injury. I don't like it at all. But I do it because it helps. It pays off. And if you will invest prayerfully in blessing others, I guarantee you, on the basis of scriptural authority, that you will benefit from it. Now, if you are struggling at this season with depression, anxiety, addiction, substance abuse, pornography, whatever it might be, if you're struggling at this season, don't feel like you've got to just put on a happy face and keep that to yourself. Please seek out one of the elders, or one of the deacons, someone else that you trust, and just say, would you please pray for me because I'm struggling with this. You may have a loved one that you're deeply concerned about, and they're struggling with addiction, and they don't want anybody to know. Well, you don't have to out them, but you can certainly talk to a pastor and just say, somebody that I care about is really struggling right now. Would you please pray with me for that person? God knows everything about every situation, and he sent his son to save us. Jesus came, not for the righteous, because there aren't any. He came to save sinners. He loves you more than you can imagine. And that, beloved people, is a reason to rejoice.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.